to you about just this, about 1 Corinthians in general, about this whole section of 1 Corinthians. And there's a point, goes on just a little bit, where St. Paul says, there are many gods and many lords. It's part of the whole kind of discourse that St. Paul is having with the Corinthians at this point. I think, you know, oh, well, there's many gods, many lords, but, you know, we're way above that kind of stuff. We don't need to worry about that. He says, yeah, there's many gods and there are many lords. He says, but there is one God and Father, the creator of the world, and there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. And he's trying to kind of really think about the fact that they do live in a world where there are many claims made on them, as there are with us, right? There are many gods and many lords with us, too. Lots of things that claim our attention and try to be at the center of our attention. So a number of years ago, I started a new parish. And they always say that in a new parish, there's a honeymoon. I don't know. You've been in various parishes. I don't know. Sometimes there's a honeymoon. Sometimes there isn't. I'd say mostly it's kind of a piece of mythology, you know, passed along from priest to priest. Oh, yes, you too, my child, will someday have a honeymoon in your parish. You're going to go, things start to happen right away usually, good and bad. People aren't just kind of waiting around. So I came to this new parish, great people, no complaints about it. But they had been doing something which was puzzling and not permitted, and that is they had ceased saying the creed. Which is not optional to say the creed. It's kind of like right there in the red letters. And if the archbishop knew you weren't saying the creed, you'd be getting a call before you had your coffee on Monday morning. And so I began to have us say the creed. It was the Apostles' Creed. There's a Nicene Creed. And we have a little bit of that. And if you look at this part of 1 Corinthians, we have the beginning of that, as I said. There's one God and Father, one Lord Jesus Christ. So the beginnings of it are there. So we began to say the creed. And this very nice couple, just at the beginning, invited us over. They had a place out in the country. They invited us out for dinner. And I thought, well, this is very nice. We're getting to know them. We just arrived, and already this is happening. And then they had us for dinner, and they're going, well, there's a reason we have you here. And they're going, it's not just the fish. And they're going, no, it's about the creed, you know. That could really offend some people. The creed could offend some people because you are forcing them to say something that they do not. They cannot, in good conscience, believe. And so, you know, I talked to them. Actually, eventually, very graciously, actually, they realized, oh, this probably wasn't a very good start to our relationship, to invite you for dinner to do this. And they're very gracious about it. You know, but they're going, well, you know, this is offensive to people. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I see and the fish was delicious. So the more I see that they have a point. The things we say in the creed are potentially offensive to people. We claim that God, our God, God the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, is the God of Israel. We claim that. That the God of this little people wandering around the desert for all that time in the middle of nowhere is the one true God. We also claim that it goes on to say that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. We don't say one of the many sons of God. Take your pick at the one that you find most attractive, and that can be yours. They say, no, this one obscure rabbi in the middle of nowhere who was executed by the Roman government and his friends say rose again from the dead 3 days later. Who could believe such a crazy thing anyway? Is also the one true God. And not just the one true God, when we say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord, the emperor isn't Lord, you know, whoever it is thinks their Lord isn't Lord, it's Jesus is Lord. We're not just saying, oh yeah, you know, he's top of the pyramid of gods, of lords. He is the center of the universe. If you're saying that Jesus is God, you're saying he is the center of the universe. And to say that Jesus is the center of the universe, and the further away I go from that initial meeting, which offended me to no end, the further I realize they have a point. This is a disturbing and offensive thing to say. It's disturbing and offensive thing to say because of what I said. It's kind of makes certain religious commitments, right? All these other gods are not gods. In the Roman world, you would have said, well, the emperor is not God. Everybody, oh, don't tell the emperor you said that, you know. And your local gods are not gods. It means, oh, don't tell the guys who run the temple of Hermes that you don't believe that, because they really like to get together and have dinner at the temple of Hermes. That's really going to upset them, you know. It's not just a matter of making claims. You think, oh, man, how can we claim that? You know, that's very offensive, you know. I mean, don't we all have our own truth? Can't we just follow our heart? Let's just follow our bliss. You're saying, no, Jesus is God. It's offensive for more than that. It's offensive for this reason, as I am increasingly aware of as time goes on. And the reason is this. I was listening to a Christian psychiatrist on the radio, on a podcast. Just came across him by accident. And he said, he's dealing with people, you know, with a lot of struggles. He said a lot of people do not want to be sick anymore. He said, but some people, not everybody who are sick, some people who are sick do not want to be well. They just want not to be sick. And he said, at the heart of our unhealth, you know, there's all kinds of biochemical reasons, so we didn't talk about all of that, but for a lot of us, at the heart of our unhealth is the fact that we cannot say yes to love, right? So he says there's reasons you can't say yes to love, because being loved is dangerous, right? It's our most vulnerable place. And if we have been hurt in the place that we love, in that place, then it's very difficult to accept being loved again. We can all think of lots of examples of that. Maybe in our own lives, the lives of other people, you're going, oh, that person, they've been so hurt. It is really hard for them to accept love. He says that's one reason we can't accept love. The other reason that it's difficult for us to accept love is, let's say we're talking about, we could be talking about anybody. Once you accept love, it's not just, well, I don't know if you remember that old song, this is how old I am. Do you remember the old song, The Sea of Love? I could sing you a few bars. It's a great old song. Come with me to the sea of love. You remember that? Psychiatrist is going, it's not just the sea of love. Once you've accepted love, it's not just the sea of love. Because the person that you love is going to place demands on you. Right? Going to place demands on you. That relationship is going to place demands on you. So it's, yes, sometimes I can't accept love, and sometimes I'm going, I cannot accept the demands that love places on me. So he gives the example of C.S. Lewis, right? C.S. Lewis says, as you know, C.S. Lewis was, you know, was an atheist who converted to Christianity, and he said he did not want to do it. He said, I was the unhappiest convert in the whole of England. When he was kneeling at his bed saying, yes, Jesus, you are God, he said, I did not want to do that because I knew everything was about to change, right? So C.S. Lewis says, you let Jesus into your house, right? So you let Jesus into your house. And then you go away for a day's work. And you come back, and the front porch is gone. And one of the bedrooms has changed. And you're going, Jesus, I left you by yourself for, can I leave you by yourself in the house by yourself for just a day? And he goes, well, buddy, we got renovations to do. And so he said quite rightly, one of the reasons, there are reasons because we've been deeply hurt, we can't accept love, and that's just true of a lot of people. Some of the reasons for some of it, though, is that because we know the pain path, the process is going to involve, renovations. There's a famous saying that I've often quoted by an American writer whose name I cannot remember right now, Anne Lamott. I did remember it. And she says, Jesus loves us just the way we are, and he loves us too much to leave us that way. Right? So when I look back at my friends, I say, you are right to say that this can cause offense. This can cause offense because of these claims we're making. It can also cause offense. The more I think of it, what it really means to say Jesus is Lord is it can cause offense because there is no place to hide. Right? There is no place to hide from his love, and there is no place from the hide from the fact that he loves us too much to leave us this way, to renovate us, so to speak. So I hear you're having an annual meeting today. Praise God, I'm no longer the rector of a parish. My Pentecostal roots are coming back to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer the rector of a parish. And God bless you, Chris. You're going to do a good job. So you're having an annual meeting, which is great. The rector has allowed me not to attend. Thank you, rector. First time in 40 years. These annual meetings I've been with you here have been just great. The thing is, my experience of this parish is not at all, and Chris, our rector, can testify to this, nobody's concerned that anybody's worried about saying the Apostles' Creed here. Right? Not at all. I mean, not a question. People have gladly taken me out for dinner, but it's never to give me a hard time for saying the Apostles' Creed. Nobody's concerned about that. And nobody has a problem here saying Jesus is Lord. I have never encountered that in this community. Jesus is Lord. Right? Can we say that? Jesus is Lord. He is. Nobody has a problem saying that. I got to tell you something. I have studied, I just about finished a doctorate, in congregational development. Be suitably impressed. But I'll tell you, the one thing that's foundational, there's all this other stuff. You know, and you have, there's stuff about buildings, I hear. We have an issue with buildings sometimes, might happen sometimes, things like that. And then there's programs, and there's budgets, everything else. I can tell you, based on empirical research, that the one thing that is the foundation to everything, that if you do not have it, you might as well just, well, you need to go on a long retreat for a long time, is this, being able to say Jesus is Lord. If we don't have the foundation for that, we have nothing. All the budgets, all the building plans, everything in the world, all the programs in the world are going to accomplish nothing unless we have that foundation where we can say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he seems to have some kind of a renovation plan for us. So yes, it is offensive to say Jesus is Lord. It is offensive to say the creed for various kind of reasons. It's offensive. But you know what? Do we really want to have him leave us alone? I don't know. I've tried. It is not fun to have him leave you alone. It is not fun. So let's think of the areas. I thank God for this parish, as I know our rector does as well, that we're unafraid to say Jesus is Lord here, that we're unafraid to face the renovation work that he's always at in us. And we can think about all the areas in our life and say, there are many gods or many lords. In this area of my life is Jesus Lord. In this area of my life is Jesus Lord. In this area of my life is Jesus Lord. And you know what really feels really good? To say yes. To say yes. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you, the God of Israel, have chosen us to be your people. And we thank you that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, has come into this world as a human being, taken on flesh and lived and died for us. And that we can stand here today, 2,000 years later, in this very distant place, and claim in every area of our lives that He is our Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.